Microphone check. Does my mic sound nice? Yes, it does. Welcome to this week's episode of It's About Damn Time. We focus on the real journey to being 1% better every damn day. Welcome to this week's episode of It's About Damn Time. I am Jared Damn, back in the building once again. And if you're new here, don't worry about it. I got you. So you see, it's about damn time with the podcast about self-discovery. It is my self-journey. I'm on the road to building a better me, and hopefully through conversations and revelations, you too can build a better you. We are in this together. And I'm so glad that we're in it together, because this week we are talking about, hold on, let me get ahead of myself. It's about damn time that we talk about breaking free from people-pleasing in romantic relationships. Specifically, first of all, y'all know I'm a habitual people-pleaser, so I might have breakdowns. Friends and family and romantic relationships, so we're going to start with the romantic relationships first, because it just feels like it's easy, especially coming with someone who is helping me again this week. I'm so glad she's back. Sex and relationship therapist, Jasmine Thomas. She killed it the first time, so I had to have her back again. Jasmine, what up? What's going on, girl?
What's going on? I had to run it back.
I had to run it back. You look, at this rate, you probably going to be like a recurring person on this.
That's what's
like,
up.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm with it. Like, everybody was loving the conversation and the clips and everything that we were able to sit there manufacture together. So I am so glad that I was able to twist your arm so you can come back on.
I love it. It's a privilege. Absolutely a privilege. Great conversation, great energy. So I'm so glad to be back.
Thank you. Oh, you make me blush. Thank you so much. All right. Well, I kind of wanted to get started because when we were sitting there talking about definitely jumping back and doing it again, kind of behind the scenes, I threw out some of these suggestions to Jazz. She said, and I start calling her Jazz, and I even asked for this. I'm so rude. No, I was talking to you. This one came up. Like, it's one of the things that I wanted to kind of talk about. I have stated several hundred billion times on this show and in public that I am a people pleaser. I'm working on it. I'm working on Jazz, but it's rough. Mm-hmm. You revealed to me that you are a people pleaser. Well, you are a former people pleaser. You got it.
There's still some tendencies that pop up here and there, you know, but yeah, definitely trying to move away from that. But a long, long time of people pleasing before even recognizing that's what was happening. And it's no fun, you know, it's no fun. And it's a hard journey trying to unlearn a lot of those things. So,
man. Tell me about it. This is why I need you here, because I need your unlearning. Like, I feel like I've gotten to a certain point, but I'm like, come on, man. Like, what are we doing? Like, and I feel like it's usually during time of the stress, where I kind of hit default settings and I kind of go back into it. So, all right, let's get into it. Let's first, before we start talking about how we gonna save everybody from people pleasing the relationships, I guess we kind of gotta identify it, because some people may not know that they doing it. So, I guess asking you to start off the kind of conversation, what does people pleasing actually look like in relationships?
It often looks like you just prioritizing the other person, their needs, their wants, their desires, way ahead of your own. Sometimes, if it's really extreme, you don't even kind of enter yourself into the picture. Like, you're not even considering your own needs or wants at all in the equation. So you're never giving any ass to your partner. You're never even expressing that you have desires or needs or wants. It's literally the other person is your entire world, and you're here to just anticipate what their needs are. Like, maybe even before they even say anything, you're already in the habit of trying to think of what might make them more comfortable, what might make them more happy, whatever that is. So it's really like a hypervigilant state almost, because you're wanting to make sure that they're always happy and satisfied, and trying to avoid any uncomfortable emotions that they might experience, upset with you, disapproval with you, right? So it's this really heightened state of being on alert to, like, okay, I can't upset this other person. Even if that means I have to sacrifice or put myself on the back burner to make sure this person is never upset.
Almost like you have avoidance and conflict resolution. That's your.
Oh, 100%. 100%. There you go. See? You ain't too far. You know some things.
You know, yeah. Look, Jazz, I ain't past the bar, but I know a little bit. You know what I mean?
Exactly. No, it's exactly that.
All right. Well, okay. So that makes sense. So I guess, all right. So let me spin it to you. Mm-hmm. You said that, you know, you break it, you broke free from it for the most part. Mm-hmm. When did you discover that you were a people pleaser? Specifically in relationships. You know, we'll sit there and keep it there. When did you discover that?
I would say probably within the first few years of my existing relationship. So what's that? Maybe like 8-9 years ago?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And just because I discovered it then doesn't mean that I started like changing things, adjusting or anything. But I could sense and notice that like I was saying yes to things that I wanted to say no to, mm-hmm. for example. Mm-hmm. Or I was being more accommodating and compromising than I was actually comfortable with in order to make the other person happy. And this is for no ask on the part of my partner, right? So like, it wasn't that my husband was like, you have to do this, you have to do that. Like none of that was happening. And honestly, that's what's made it easy to unlearn along the relationship, because as I've come to learn more about myself and then I kind of update me, a new version of me,
right.
He's able to be accepting and open to that adjustment and kind of grow and evolve with me. But yeah, it was like completely unprovoked. I'm just sacrificing, compromising when I don't even really have to.
Yeah. Okay. That makes a lot of sense. So I like what you said about like you discovered it 8-9 years ago. That didn't mean you started working towards fixing it.
For sure.
Because I have like, I think a lot of times we as individuals, we tend to say after we recognize a certain thing, it's almost like that's the victory. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Hi, I'm Jared. I'm a hypocrite. Ha ha. Right. So I know I'm a hypocrite, but you ain't doing nothing to change this shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So you just going around just telling these people you're a hypocrite. Yeah. You go around telling people you're a people pleaser. And so that's powerful what you're saying that you noticed it, but you may have not done anything with it. I think for me, if I look back at all of the past, whether it's relationships or situationships, or we start to talk a little bit, or maybe we're conversing or get to know each other, I've always been a people pleaser. Like
right.
I don't know if I've ever like truly been like, this is what I want, period.
Mm. Like, why not? Why has that never come into the mind?
Probably because, oh man, you might have been crying early. Okay, so probably because I just didn't have value in myself. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you straight up. So once I discovered that someone likes me, mm-hmm. in the past, I think I'm better mm-hmm. now. But once I discovered that somebody likes me, I'd be like, oh shit, they like me. Okay, sound the alarms. Sound the alarms, everybody. They like me. Okay. I was just excited that they like me. I hadn't even evaluated myself. Do I actually like them too that way? I was just like, we just about to rock with this, because I don't know why people would like me. This person happens to like me, so I want to make sure that they know that I like them before they change their mind. And then that's when it kind of developed where, let me just please. And then the sad thing is when you get to that point where you start realizing, man, I am fucking tired. I've been pleasing mm-hmm. all this time. Mm-hmm. And you like, you're trying to push away and like, let me just slide over here and just try to set some sort of boundary. Mm-hmm. Then they're like, you changing.
Right. What happened?
You acting funny.
Right. Oh, brand new over here. No, yeah. No, that definitely makes sense, because it's unbeknownst to the other person too. You know, like doing all the pleasing, they're like, oh, okay, this is great. Like I can rock with this. Everybody would love for somebody to be all up under them, do whatever they want. They don't have to worry. Like all of us love that kind of treatment, right? But then the challenge becomes not much comes back your way, because you're also not asking for anything. Right. So the other person, they're thinking like, shit is smooth. How it's going? You know, right. It's all good. You ain't said there's no problem on your side. You ain't saying you need anything extra. Cool. So then when you all of a sudden like, you know, I'm burnt out. I've been doing all this for you. You ain't doing nothing for me. It's really setting that person up for failure, because it's almost like I need you to mind read what I need. Right. I need you to just do exactly what I'm doing, or kind of somehow know that I need more because I'm pouring. And they like, okay, that's where the switch up feeling kind of happens. Cause like, I thought we was all good. And meanwhile, us people pleased inside is like rage, resentment, like all these feelings coming up of like, bruh, I can't do this.
That shit on fire. Like it's like looting and plundering going on in your head. And you just, you know that meme where it's that puppy that's sitting in the, with yes, the thing burning and you're like, I'm fine. Yeah, that's me. That's me overall all the time in life, period.
Yes. And honestly, it's so real because that is like the internal feeling of a people pleaser because you're literally putting the entire world ahead of yourself and there's no space for you and what you need, your happiness, your joy, because there's always someone with a handout because they're used to it. Mm-hmm. If I put my hand out, Jared or Jasmine, they're going to come in. They're going to give me what I need. So my hand keep coming out and there's never no space for yourself and being able to pour into that. So yeah, of course there's like, we are in there just going ham in our minds. Like what? Yeah.
We're essentially just self-sacrificing. So
for sure.
when you're looking at that self-sacrificing, but relationship is about compromise. So is there a major difference between compromising and self-sacrificing? Like what does that look like?
Yeah, I would say the difference is whether or not both people are in the relationship, like are considered, I should say, in the relationship. So it shows up kind of differently for men and women in my experience with how like we think sacrificing should happen. Mm-hmm. So for women that might be, or actually I would say the first one that comes to my mind for men is like this whole happy wife, happy life idea. Obviously that look transcends into girlfriend, dating, whatever it is. And what that to me is a fallacy and it's actually really dangerous, mainly because it excludes the guy from the relationship. It's pretty much, we don't care about what makes you happy at all. You just need to do whatever this other person wants in the relationship, right? So that's what men have been told, happy wife, happy life. So that's their form of people pleasing in a relationship. For women, it's like these things that we've been taught since young that you have to do in order to be submissive to a man, in order to be desired. So he come home at night, right? Like all of these other things that we learn about, whether or not we agree with them or we feel like it speaks to our needs that we just kind of subscribe to and do to please the man, right? It doesn't have a cute little tagline, but you know, it's the same kind of
sentiment. Happy spouse, happy house.
Oh, I like that. I never heard of that one.
I've been holding that one in for like a little while. Let's make some t-shirts, girl.
You should. You got to coin that one. That's a good one. Oh, man. But yeah, yes. Thinking that you have to completely eliminate your own desires and wants in order to make your partner happy is that self-sacrifice. Compromises, we're both coming to the table and saying, hey, this is what I would like. Okay, this is what I would like. Where do we be in the middle where we both get some satisfaction out of what's about to happen?
Yeah. So, all right. So let's talk about it. All right, we've identified it now. So in this point, like we're looking at the impact of it because some people might be like, you know, that's just my personality. Like this is just who I am.
Right.
A lot of times we are scared to address the stuff. Oh my God. Oh. So I'm talking about myself. I just hit me right there. Okay. So sometimes we're scared to address the stuff. So we just like, well, this is just my personality, this is who I am. But let's talk about like the impact of it. So when you people please, there's more, you know, all the time in your relationship. Mm-hmm. Doesn't it lead to like some sort of like, you know, resentment or just like, ugh, like this shit. I give best massages and now my baby want a massage, you know, right now, even though I don't feel like it and I didn't work 12 hours and everything, but I gotta get this massage because I don't want to hit his shit. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so now you need the massage. They're relaxed. They ain't fell asleep. Now you gotta whine. I'm making this up, by the way. Hit me up in my inbox like, oh. Now I gotta wind down because I never actually went to, you know, relax and everything. So I'm a little resentful because this motherfucker over here snoring and relax.
Yeah.
So am I on the same page on that? Is it resentful?
I think so. I think so. And it's actually funny that you use that example because oftentimes whenever there's a massage that's being requested from either me or my husband, we already have an understanding that I have to give him the massage first. And then he gives me it because I want to relax afterwards. Mm-hmm. So that's like the agreement. Like, yeah, I can give you a massage, but I got to do yours first and then you do me. because I'm not about to be relaxed. And then I got to like do some more work. Later. I want to be able to relax. And that was like a compromise. Right. So it's not like, oh, OK, all or nothing. It's how do we make this work for both of us? But yeah, essentially that resentment that builds up when you really want something, but you're not being heard and you're penalizing the other person and they don't even know that there's a problem that exists. So I think the impact happens on both sides. Like you're holding all of the frustration, anger, resentment because you're not being, your needs aren't being met, but you're also not communicating it to the other person. So like, I think for people pleasers, it's a real challenge in communication underlying, right? Mm-hmm. So you have a hard time having what could be uncomfortable conversations with another person to tell them, hey, I didn't like when this happened, or hey, I need this to happen instead of what happened before. Hey, I didn't care too much about how you talked to me. No, I can't do this thing. Or yes, I can do it, but after this, or, you know, like some form of communicating what you need while trying to be a community member to other people, whether that be a partner, friend, whoever, you know? Yeah. So, yeah.
It's definitely a balance, but it's also like, yeah. So, all right. So when we talk about impact, all right, the massage thing is cool. All right. But maybe people don't get massages or something. So what other ways do you, can you kind of identify that how it would show up?
Like that people pleasing would show up?
Yeah.
So it might be, let's see, if it isn't like a act or something. It could be that you all are in a conflict conversation, right? So say you have an argument, just because every relationship ends up having an argument.
Right.
And to people please in the moment, you say, oh, I'm not even mad. Like, I'm sorry I upset you. What do you need in order to feel better? Or maybe they give you the silent treatment and you are like, jumping at them to like, what's wrong? How do I fix it? What's up? I'm so sorry, right? So there's no accountability on both sides. It's more of just, oh, I made you upset. How do I fix it? How do I get us back in this positive space without actually addressing what the issue is? So again, communication. But yeah, I would say that's a super common one with people pleasers and arguments.
I thought we were friends. I didn't really think. Like I asked you, I was excited to talk to you every day. I didn't realize that in the first, 15 minutes or so, you just go, you'll be reading.
I'll read you down.
Jazz, what are you doing to me?
What does that ring up for you though?
But yeah, so I've had time. all those quotes, all those sayings that you were saying, I have said them. Like I still be saying them, like to this day. Right. And like, and it's weird because the stuff that I'm going through right now, I'm definitely in a transition in my life. And sometimes, so some days are better than others. But I do find myself at times going like, somebody might have a slightly bad day. Maybe they got the coffee order wrong or maybe, and I'm saying, oh man, I'm sorry. Like, what can I do? Or, and I'm literally on the brink of, I'm like holding in a breakdown where I'm about to go in the fetal position and start dry heaving. And I'm like,
what do you need?
And I feel like emotionally, I think you're right. That is the easiest way you can do that because you can clock and you can track like massages or I'm a cook when I only feel like cooking or like, like different acts.
Right.
But that emotional thing, because you're so tied to that person emotionally, that you don't even notice that. Especially if you just used to be in it. And I know people, everybody didn't always have the most confidence in themselves in their relationships at times. So those times where you feel a little bit vulnerable or that you kind of want to compensate, with, I'm going to just go the extra mile. Because that's what you're supposed to do in relationships. But it's also important to be like, hey, I'm gonna go the extra mile, but maybe like, we'll also tell you like, I'm really not feeling up to it. Is it just like delivering? Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. We'll talk about how we're gonna deliver and everything. I just like, you just breaking it down for me. Why are you doing it to me? So is it really just about keeping the peace in general?
Oh man, that's like the easiest way to summarize it. You're keeping the peace at your own expense. Yep. It's a beautiful and succinct way to put it. But yeah, it definitely, it shows up in all of your relationships, usually And I usually challenge people to think about if there's an area where it's very easy for you to assert boundaries and not people please, like question why that is. Why is it different? What are the outcomes too? Because once people start to like unlearn people pleasing and use the skills and practices to like be more assertive in their communication, it life's so much easier. It's so much easier. And it's so clarifying because then the people who are meant to be around and in your life stay. And the people who aren't, who are there just for the handout, right? And what they can take, they usually go with the wind. So, yeah.
I mean, that, okay. True. All that's true.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So let me break it down from the emotional standpoint. Okay. So that's true. And they'd be like, yeah. Cause you see the people on social media. I'm weeding all these people out of my life, and yeah, this is what I'm doing. Cause it ain't no more me doing this. I'm people pleasing to the degree. I'm done with this stuff. Fuck this. You know, you see all this, you just kind of scroll like, oh, damn, somebody going through it. You just kind of
right.
Yeah. But in that sense, it's almost like your declaration of independence. But how do you necessarily transition to it? Because making that statement is one thing. Mm-hmm. Actually put it into practice is something else, because I have made that statement. I ain't doing this shit no more. I'm over it. And then, something that happened or, you know, time will go by and I'll be like, I know I'll be tripping sometimes.
Maybe it's me. Maybe it ain't there. Maybe it's me.
Because I put everything in me. Like, I always think inwardly. I'm like, because I have a problem. Because sometimes I'll be talking real slick. I'm going to be an asshole sometimes. Is that a problem? So, how do you make that transition where you can make the transition, one, and it actually sticks, two?
Right. Yeah, I think it's just practice and also not looking for perfection. So just because you have this realization, like how I was saying, I had the realization, but I wasn't putting it into application for some time after. And that was just in my relationship, which was easier just because of who I was, you know, evolving with. But that's been really hard and taken so much longer with like family relationships or friendships. Like those ones were more challenging and probably didn't start getting implemented until like 3 years ago or so. And that's just because of the people on the other side might not have the same flexibility as my partner, right? So the people you're engaging with can make it an easier transition or a more difficult one, but even still, you have to be steadfast in like applying and practicing the skill. So for example, if I'm in an argument and like using that same example for a relationship, if we get into an argument and I'm doing all the people pleasing, it doesn't mean like, oh, dang, ship sailed. I have to wait until the next argument until I can try and use the practice or the skill. Like, no, like, okay, I didn't handle that well. I can always have the conversation. It's never too late. Even if it's a week later, hey, babe, you know, I've been really thinking about how our last conversation went. And I realized that I did X, Y, and Z. And what I really meant was this, or I felt unheard, or da 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 da, whatever it is. But like, always going back to the conversation is the best way to practice it and really feeling like it's never too late.
Okay. I see your it's never too late and I raise you. Is it? Because here's why. Okay. Here's why. I have been in situations with individuals that maybe they need a little bit more time to process. Right? Mm-hmm. All right, cool. You know, everybody don't have it like that. Even me. Right. Like I keep thinking that I'm popping these things out. Sometimes I need to let it marinate a little bit. That's cool. Cool.
Yeah.
But in your example, you like, oh, I came back out the week after thinking about it. And I think that's totally acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
What if it's like, you know, it's been like a month or two, or it's been like
never too late.
Never too late.
Never. Ever, ever, ever.
Jessica Wise presents The Bridge Club, a play in one act, opening Friday, May 16th, 8 p.m. at the Atlanta Theater. Inspired by I Love Lucy and The Real Housewives of New Jersey, this comedy follows four post-World War II women as they seek the truth about a nasty rumor following their newlywed friend. In just one short afternoon and a game of cards, lines are crossed and secrets are revealed. Tickets are now available on Eventbrite. This show is one weekend only, so don't miss it. Visit eventbrite.com for tickets and be the first to see the world premiere of The Bridge Club.
How does a partner deal with that? Because sometimes it's like, yo, I thought we talked about that and addressed that.
Yeah.
Like 3 weeks ago. And now you're like, well, I was on this road trip and I was doing some thinking. Like, how in your experience, and I guess as a person that's in a relationship, as people that, and as a therapist who actually had to hear this many times over.
Right.
How does that partner react to that? Because I feel like it's like a long time. Like, just I'm annoyed now.
It could be. And then that happens, especially if there's a large gap. So I've personally had conversations with people that have been years old. And I've definitely worked with couples where they are trying to process through things that are years old too. And it is literally never too late. And the reason is, if we still remember that incident, that conversation, that situation that happened years ago, if we still remember it, that means it is impacting us current day. And it means it is very much unresolved. And we need to have a conversation so we can eliminate any resentment or negative feelings and actually start to connect more and enjoy each other. So it is never too late. But yes, for the partner, it's not always super fun to be trying to go back to something that happened years ago that you probably don't remember or whatever, or you've had 10 conversations about this thing and you just never had the conversation in an effective way. So the issue still remains. And I say still have it. Even if the person's like, I'm tired of talking about this, we just talked about this. You're right. And it's unresolved for me and I still need to get something else off my chest, or I still need more clarity about X, Y, or Z. And if we're in this together and you my partner, you're trying to rock with me, even though it's annoying for you, you probably gonna have the conversation.
Okay, Jazz.
If they don't want to have the conversation, that's telling you even more. Because if they don't want to have the conversation, they don't care about what your needs are. Like, I don't want to hear nothing about what you got going on.
Yeah, okay. I mean, that's true. I do care. You know, I think it is the examples that I'm thinking about. I think it's like, okay, take 46. Like, we didn't come to the end.
It might. And maybe that's because we aren't having communication in a productive way and an effective way. So that's honestly every single thing that I learned throughout life, throughout being a therapist. Communication, it is the ultimate cliche, but it is such a cornerstone to quality relationships, how well you can communicate. And none of us, unless you're really privileged and you had great parents who know about these things, but a large majority of us, 90%+, probably 99%, have not been taught how to actually communicate with another person, where both people feel felt and understood and seen, and there's resolution. Like, we don't actually know how to do it. And until we know how to do it, we might have take 47 because it's unresolved. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. All right, but you're right. All right. All right. Communication is the cornerstone. So, okay. So since you said that, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Because what I forgot to do is that there, since I have a sex and relationship therapist, I ain't say nothing about sex in as far as a romantic relationship. Okay, so let me hit this scenario, because we gotta work on handling hearing no, or saying saying no for that person. So
yes,
all right, another scenario. I know you tired because you've been running through my mind all day, girl. You know what I mean? Like, all right, so hey, of course, but okay, but you know this is what's been happening. All right, so. I had a wrong day. I just want like a little bit of whiskey, and maybe you sit there and go ahead and go down and please your boy. Just give me a little something now, because I had that long day.
Yes,
that person who's had that long day that's getting that request. Mm-hmm. Okay, you don't know what I went through. I didn't ask no questions. I didn't ask. Mm-hmm. You ain't feeling up to it. So how do you say no, and then how do you navigate the fallout from that no?
Gotcha. So first it would take you having like awareness of where your capacity is, because is it no, but I can do this, or is it no altogether, I have no energy at all? Like really kind of checking in, because that's going to be what you communicate. If there's something you can offer, then obviously that's going to be like more compromise. And then if it's an absolute no, then that would be enforcing a boundary, right? So like, I cannot, right? Versus maybe I can make you the whiskey and I can touch on you a little bit.
Right.
But that, you know, while we laying side by side, I can just rub on you a little bit rather than doing the whole shebang. Mm-hmm. How does that sound to you? Right. And then that becomes a, we can work with that a little bit more. Usually that's easier for the other person to receive.
Right, right.
If it's an absolute no and it is a boundary, you don't want to go into, no, you always ask me, like where it's an attack now on the person for requesting something. And that's usually, or not usually, but sometimes what can happen is someone makes a request because they have a need or a desire, which is totally fair. The ask is never a problem. So saying, hey, I want whiskey and a little bit of head, like ain't nothing wrong with that. And so going from that to now I'm being attacked and I'm selfish and I don't think about you and da-da-da-da is like, whoa, you know? So keeping it your no pertaining to you and what you having going on, not a personal attack on your partner, because the ask is always there and on the table, because that's what you want for yourself too, you know? Yeah. So, you know, I'm really tired today. I really don't have much in me. Maybe we can rain check for tomorrow. What is the issue? Like, I don't like giving head. Like, it really just, it depends on the person and what's going on with them and why they're saying the no. Is it like a never? Is it just not right now? But like bringing that into the conversation, like, oh my gosh, babe, I really would love to do that for you. I hear you had a long day. Me too, though. Like, I really don't got it in me. I'm so, so sorry. I got you tomorrow, though. First thing in the morning, I might even wake you up to something, you know?
Look, like, see, okay. look, Jance, I like that negotiation. You know what I mean? Like, all I'm saying is just a little effort. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't say no, just say not right now. You know what I mean? I'm okay with it. Like,
unless it's a boundary. Like, if it is a no, never, like, I don't give head, then now we having a different conversation. And it might be that if you ask me in the future, now I take it as disrespect because I already let you know I don't do that, right? So it really depends on your capacity and where you're at. But being able to, again, communicate that to your partner so they know what the heck is up. And they ain't just, dang, she bit my head off because I was asking to get touched a little bit.
All right. So we say breaking the cycle is basically short, you know, the communication and just seeing how you feel. We talked about the discomfort of saying no and how to kind of navigate with that negotiation and everything. Like, hey, I can't do it right now, but maybe later. Mm-hmm. And then also throwing in the communication. Hey, right. This is the day that I'm having.
I want to put an asterisk on that too.
Okay.
Not feeling guilty for the no. That's another big one for the people.
That's what I was about to say, girl.
It's a big one. The emotions that come up when you are trying to be more assertive in communication. Yeah. It's big. And that's usually more of a deterrent than what the other person might even actually say. Your own feelings about asserting.
Yeah. Because your partner could be cool with it.
Cool.
If you just talk to me. But you're carrying that guilt around like you put yourself in a torture chamber.
Yeah.
How do you fix that shit? Like, how do you navigate? Because self-guilt, that ain't gonna do with your partner, but you almost like project it to your partner.
Yes. That's literally my experience with my husband. Like, he not tripping on nothing. He's saying, just say it. Just tell me, happy to do it. Happy to be flexible and accommodating, all those things for you as well. And I'll just be in my mind like, no, I don't want to inconvenience him. I don't want to this and that. Like, that's less now. But for majority of our relationship, it would literally just be, like you said, my own little torture chamber of pleasing, people pleasing when it's not even necessary. So, yeah, it's a hard one. And the unlearning comes from not feeling like asserting yourself is going to result in loss of the relationship and loss of the connection.
Yeah.
So that's, at least for me personally, that was the big one. And obviously that comes from like early relationships, like with my mom. Other people too, just having learned that like the way that I earn people's affection, love, care, or them just existing in my life and remaining in my life is when I make them more comfortable by people pleasing and kind of putting myself on the back burner. And if I do ask something, my ask will be met with like vitriol. Like, how dare you? You know, yeah. So yeah.
Yeah. I don't think it's that prevalent with me as much anymore, but that's where the grassroots of that came from. It's like not only should I, like, I really want to eat. Excuse me, I really want to eat Chipotle for dinner tonight. Jerry, what do you want to eat? Oh no, it won't matter. Whatever you want to eat.
And why wouldn't you say Chipotle? What was you? What did you fear or worry was going to happen by saying I want to eat Chipotle?
I don't want to eat Chipotle, and I was like, okay. And then we ended up eating Five Guys. I was like, what fucking Five Guys? Eat Five Guys. Like, I'm the one going through the stress, and you want to eat Five Guys because that's your stress meal. Like, I'm going. Mm-hmm. Instead of just being like, make two stops.
Right.
You know, like. Yeah.
We got time. We got energy.
But maybe because I guess growing up, my mom was like, we go to one place and that's it. So he's like, okay, one place.
Right. We got this.
Guess we going to Five Guys. All right. So what if you obviously have a great partner who just tell me and, you know he rock with you. And yeah. Shout out. Right. I don't know you're listening. Shout out. But to that extent, what if these individuals may not have such a progressive partner such as yourself. You know what I mean? Maybe we need something kind of just, they're not bad people. We just kind of got to polish them up a little bit. You know what I'm saying? So how do you have that conversation with your partner? Because now you've decided now that you've made this transition that mm-hmm. I am going to start setting up for myself. I'm not being perfect with people pleasing. I know it's going to be back and forth. But I'm about to start establishing this. So mm-hmm. how do I start first having a conversation with somebody who may not be as cool?
I would say a lot of self-talk about your goal around it. So like being really clear on why you're making the changes can be your North Star when you're coming up against someone who may be less than open to adjusting alongside you. Because really, however they respond is how they're going to respond, and you can't control that. And usually people pleasing, we do to try. It's a method of control, right? Like we're trying to predict and control what's going to happen, and people pleasing keeps it positive. So you have to relinquish that you have any control over how the other person's going to respond, right? Let that go. And I think going back to your goal, like, all right, I am moving away from people pleasing because I recognize that this self-sacrificing is literally robbing me of the joy and peace and happiness of my own life. Mm-hmm. My own lived experience is so detrimentally impacted by people pleasing, I can't do this anymore. I will look back and not have lived my life at all for myself. So like whatever your goal is, right? Everyone's is different and it ranges in severity of how like much people pleasing impacts your life, but figuring out why am I doing this? And then every time before that hard conversation, reminding yourself of that why, and also the consequences if you continue as you are. And usually that consequence is so painful that you're like, it's not going to be, the response I get from this person isn't going to be worse than me continuing to live this life like this.
That's, oh, so you can say, okay, I fucks with you. You could. No, but you're right. I think we make that big thing about the whole, how that response is going to be and everything. So we just kind of dismiss it. But you're basically just keeping yourself in that torture situation. Mm-hmm. I do want to go back to something that you said though, because that struck a chord with me. People pleasing is about control. Mm-hmm. And I don't think most people pleasers know that that's it.
Mm-hmm.
You're pleasing because you're trying to control the status quo of the relationship, mm-hmm. trying to ensure that everything, no one's rocking the boat, that y'all still gonna be together, that y'all still gonna be happy. And granted, it's probably from some shit in the past where, mm-hmm. Well, it's not probably. It's from some shit in the past where you couldn't control the situation and everything blew up. So mm-hmm. so now you're like, I am going to people please to control this.
Yeah.
Do you find that a lot of people that you work with even consider that they're people pleasing or probably control freaks?
No, absolutely not. Because I think the world looks at people pleasers and a lot of the other adjacent characteristics that people pleasers have as passive, weak, docile, like a lot of those more negative connotations. Mm-hmm. So to think that there's any kind of control or power that is literally being exhibited or exchanged, no one really considers that. But yeah, there are elements of that. You have to kind of contort yourself in a way. You learn different kind of people skills also in being able to do it. You can go into any crowd and be well-liked by others, have positive situations occur. I mean, obviously, it's you wearing a mask, right? And so it's almost like people don't actually get to know the real you, but there is a level of control and power that exists within these skills that make up being a people pleaser. And no, the world doesn't see it as valuable or strength in any regard. Fuck.
All right.
There.
I both love you and sick of you at the same time right now.
I feel it. It happens.
Oh, shit. Oh, okay. So clearly I'm a control freak. But all that's true. Like, look, navigating through a room and everything, almost being like the negotiator, like the mediator for a room during conflict. Mm-hmm. I know what to say. This person sit there and make them smile. And I know what to say. That, oh, man.
Yeah. Those are valuable skills. They're just exhausting when you do it all the time and you never have any space for yourself or no one's doing any of that support for you, you know?
And you're right. It's a mask because you put that mask on so much. No one knows who you are. Hell, no. You don't know who you are.
Facts.
I'm literally Batman the entire time. Like, I'm not even Bruce Wayne right now. I'm literally Batman the entire damn time.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Right. It's deep. It gets deep. And it makes it so much more meaningful when you do find people that you can be yourself with, or you can learn about yourself with, or you can get back to. Like, that's a new journey I'm on even now, trying to like really, really figure out what was the turning point in which I decided that this was the way to go? Because the control can happen multiple ways. You know, people please decide to do the control and the power with the, you know, sugar and honey. There's other people who are much more, you know, forceful, you know, on the other side of things. And that's effective for them too, for different reasons of how people respond to that. But yeah, like, can I just show up as me and see how things unfold?
Shit, I don't know. Like, you know, I'm just being honest. I don't know. I've been this version of Jared for so long. Like, what do you, and I know this going back to like the transition tour, but what do you say? How's the person emotionally deal with that? Like, okay, they listen to this podcast right now. They mouth hit the floor just like mine. Like, you're like, shit, I am a controlling person, which I knew in certain regards I'm controlling. Like, I'm a pleasure dog. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, so yeah. I knew I was controlling in certain regards, but I know I'm anxious, right? Mm-hmm. And somewhat of a control freak, but it never really occurred to me that the people pleasing part, you know, is like, since I'm saying Batman stuff all the time.
Yeah,
right
now, go for it.
It's the main, if I grapple the hook on my utility belt, you know what I mean? Right. The main shit I'm using as Batman. Oh, man. How do you, I don't know, how do you address that? I mean, obviously, you should see a therapist such as yourself, you know what I mean? Hey, shout out to you. But how else do you sit there and navigate that? That's crazy.
It is. And it's powerful, but it's also like scary. It's also exciting. Like, there's so many layers and emotions that you experience. But I would say if you were first realizing this, start just taking data and stock of how you feel and what you experience in your body and in your emotions when you're in different scenarios and situations, when you're with different people. And that starts to tell you. So like, for example, if I always go to an extracurricular, say I go to play softball and I'm realizing like, okay, when I play softball, I'm not actually like getting joy, or I only get joy when I win, or, you know, like you're able to kind of tease apart. I'm not actually doing this because I want to. Maybe I just carried over softball because when I was growing up, it was the thing that everybody praised me for. And it's not actually what I want to do. But when I go into the library and I'm reading books, like, I be having a time. Okay, maybe that tells me something about myself. I like learning, or I like the peacefulness of being around knowledge or whatever it is. But you start to just learn more about yourself when you can attune to yourself. So if I'm talking to someone and my body is feeling on edge and tense and everything, that's telling me something about that dynamic. And I think that even speaks to part of like what you were mentioning in having these conversations and how people responded. There's like a energy that you can feel between people as they're communicating that feels like, this doesn't feel tense. It doesn't feel like I need to be any particular way. Hopefully you don't feel like you need to be any particular way. And that shows up in just how we are engaging and sharing energy. And you can notice that. And it brings you closer to a person of like, okay, this person, if I'm dating a couple people, this one person, when I'm on a date with them, I light up a little bit differently, even when we ain't doing nothing. Right. Versus I might be on the fanciest, most amazing date on paper with someone else. And, you know, it ain't really hitting like that. So, like, really just checking in with yourself about how you feel to learn what you like and don't like.
Well, I am for one, glad that I am able to be comfortable enough with you to have conversations like this. Because this is great. But, all right, so we have the last segment. You know what it is. You've been here before. You understand how this works. Sure. It's about damn time. So Jazz, what is it about damn time for people to start doing to break free from people pleasing forever?
That's a good question. Okay. Attune and get to know yourself and what you need from the world and what you need for yourself, and be able to share that knowledge and information with the people who want to be a part of your world.
You said I should just drop this. Just like, let me take a little pause. Let me just drop the shit. Mic drop, bail, grand opening, grand closing. I love it. No, it makes a lot of sense. So for anybody who is, like I said, hearing this episode, it's like, fuck, Jazz been fucked up all day. Like me, I'm gonna have to have a drink afterward. But take that time to kind of just soak in it, you know. And I love what you said about that evaluation, like in that situation, how am I feeling? Because I think we got to get to a point where we just start self-evaluating, you know, how do I actually feel versus the feeling of what people pleasing gives me, or just in general, just making sure that the status quo is still there. So yeah, you have been great. Jazz, tell these people where they can find you at, man. Let them know so they can follow you and be hearing all this stuff and everything. Sure. And then I can be nosy about when this podcast is coming out, because I'm excited.
Oh, definitely. So on IG, Jasmine Thomas, just my name. And for booking or anything like that, 3P Therapy is my private practice. So that is where you could have a consultation to potentially be a client of mine. But yeah, any online content where you could just like kind of keep up with me and see what things I'm doing, what I'm talking about, what I got going on, that would be Jasmine Thomas on IG.
So good. So yeah, get ready. She'll be back. She'll be back.
Yes, I will.
Well, yeah, thank you so much for being on.
You're so welcome. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining me this week on It's About Damn Time. Hey, if you like what you heard, follow this podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and IG, and join the conversation on this week's episode. Link to all my socials in the show notes. You can also show love by simply giving me a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts. And of course, for more blogs, pods, and other digital content, go to thewholedamnshow.com. Until next time, I'll see you next week.